Welcome, everybody. This is Jem from MetsJunkies.com. And on the other end, we got my main man, TC. And you are listening to TC's and Jem's Mets Hour. TC, what's going on, buddy?
Chilling. How about yourself?
Man, I'm hanging in there. I have the day off today. So I got the chance to just sit back. Didn't get the chance to watch any Mets baseball, but I did get to check some clips, get to think some baseball, read some baseball. You know how it is.
Yeah, it's about that time. You know, it's March 1st, and within the next month, baseball should be back.
Unbelievable.
Thank God.
You know, shit, you sit throughout the whole winter and you just wait and wait and wait. And then when it's here, it's like, it's too good to be true.
Yeah, you can't get enough of it.
And we've barely just started.
Yeah. You know, hopefully this year we have the World Series. We get that ring. We get that chip.
We need to be at that World Series playing those seven games.
I think so. Well, at least I hope so.
I agree with you, buddy. All right, so first off, a few days ago, the Mets went ahead and made a relatively small move, a minor move. They went ahead and signed outfielder Jalen Davis. It's likely this fella is going to be headed off to Syracuse playing AAA. TC, if you look at his stats, it's nothing special.
No, not at all. And he's 28 years old, and he's never played a full season. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what you're going to get from this guy.
The good news is looking at his 6 years in the minors, he does have a slash line of 261, 341, 463, 804, with 107 doubles, 97 home runs, 319 RBIs, 40 stolen bases throughout. Again, six seasons in the minors.
Yeah, I get that. But, you know, like I said, he's 28, going to be 29 years old. He's only been in 38 career games with pro games, you know, mostly with the Giants, but 12 last year with the Red Sox.
Right.
And he's batting a whopping 207. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, you can't really look at his minor league stats, and then, you know, it's a small sample that we're given here, but it's not looking promising on the offensive side.
His major league sample is small.
But it's a small sample size, but
for sure.
You know, last year was his best average at 333, but that was only over
right. It is very small sample size. However, baseball has changed tremendously. It used to be that there would be more leeway with some of these guys. Now some of these guys really only get a small sample size, and for some reason we're never seeing or hearing from them again. It's getting crazy. All right, so moving on. One thing I wanted to talk about is Luis Guillorme. This guy is a fan favorite beyond belief. Everybody loves him. If you don't love Luis Guillorme, you're sick in the head. You got something wrong with you. You seriously have something wrong with you. You know what I'm saying? The guy caught a bat barehanded. He's juggling, he's doing the most obscene things. 22 pitch at bats, if I'm not mistaken. He's become a myth. He's folklore.
He's the bearded metropolitan is what he is. And he, I think he's just coming into his prime now because he's only 28 years old. But the thing I love about him most is his defense and his versatility in the infield. Right. Because you could play him just about anywhere on the dirt, and you're going to do okay with yourself.
Yeah, I wouldn't put him at first. He's a bit on the shorter side. That's not his fault, but he is. I'm sure he would end up doing just fine. But just because he is a bit on the shorter side, I believe infielders are used to throwing to.
Yeah, but we don't need it. We don't need him at first. We got the polar bear over there, and
right
now we got Vogelbach to back him up.
Exactly.
And yeah, Volgy's looking pretty good, losing 25 pounds, by the way.
I didn't get a chance to see him, so you're saying he's looking good, huh?
Yeah. He lost 25 pounds in the offseason training.
Liking it.
My
theory, I have a theory about this. So I'm glad that you brought this up. I'm actually glad you brought this up. Because let me tell you, I would be a fat fuck on the road. My theory on this is tremendously easy to ship and shape up once the season's over. Once you're out on the road and you're eating, if you're trying to save money, not everybody is making $18 million a year.
Right.
Some guys in the league are trying to save money. I think, they're finishing games a lot of the times at about 10 o'clock, maybe getting out of the stadium at about 11:30, 11:45.
Right.
Getting the hotel catering, that's a bit expensive. But regardless, I don't think they're eating too healthy on the road. And I think I think that's why it's easier for them to come in looking in good shape. And
you look at all the advances that we have made in taking care of ourselves and bettering ourselves. You would think that these major league teams would have a healthy spread to eat after the game, a salad, some chicken, some fruit, something that's not going to weigh on you right before you go to bed.
I'm sure they do, but I think maybe in the old days this is true. I know for sure it was, after a few whiskeys, you might build up an appetite again.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that, bro. But seeing Vogie lose that weight, was good. Because he could, even when he had the weight, he was pretty quick for a big guy.
Especially that bat. That's all that needed to be quick.
Right, and now you get that bat around a little more. We don't need the home run pop out of him that he thinks we need. Mm-hmm. We just need him to get on base. Because, this team, to me, this team all around is built for small ball baseball, one at a time, move it along. But we do have Pop, we have McNeil, we have the Polar Bear, we have Lindor, we have Marte. So there is Pop in our lineup, but, mostly I think it's built for small ball. And I think that's where Vogelbach can come in for Pete Alonso and make a difference.
Do me a favor. Let's backtrack just a tiny bit. Let's go back to Guillorme.
Okay.
Does he last the full season on this Mets squad? Is he done in orange and blue the full year? Because there's...
Absolutely. Absolutely. If he stays healthy, he is the role player on the infield in my decision. I know everybody goes to Lindor, the shortstop, but Guillorme, to me, is the role player because he can play so many different positions. You can move him to second, you can move him to third, he can play shortstop if Frankie needs the day off.
Right.
So when he's healthy, he's on. Defense. I mean, last year he played 102 games. He had almost 300 at-bats. He averaged 273. which isn't bad. But he's got to pick that up a little bit. But his defense will always keep him in the game, in my opinion.
273 will keep him in the game just fine.
You'd like to see it get up there a little bit higher, but he makes up for it with the glove, with how he saves the runs on the infield.
Now with advanced metrics, we're looking at so much more than just that. I'm just fine with the way Guillaume is doing. However, I think being that he may be just hitting his prime, I think the Mets owe him a favor. I think they're going to go ahead and trade him, get him to a place where he could possibly start more, hopefully full time. I think that would be good for him, because eventually, in due time, he's gonna want to get in on a payday.
And see, I think they'll move Escobar before they move Guillaume.
Interesting.
I think they move Escobar because they could drop his contract on somebody and keep Guillaume and re-sign him, who is a more versatile player. And I think you're better off with the versatile players. You know, look at how it's helped out Jeff McNeil, you know, being versatile in the outfield. You know,
sure.
This has helped Jeff McNeil, and he just signed a nice new contract with the Mets. So I could see them, you know, getting rid of Escobar and keeping Guillaume.
I actually might disagree on this. I'm not really too sure. I think they may prefer Escobar's leadership, his veteranship. I do remember even when back even before Max Scherzer signed, right when he signed, they said that one thing that he really liked was Escobar. I don't know if he played with him in the past or something, but he was just praising Escobar. I don't know if that's just here nor there. Probably you know, is.
And that's great to hear. You want to hear your teammates speak highly of you all the time. You know, it gives great camaraderie in your dugout and in, you know, the clubhouse later on. But you also have to look, can Escobar really be that leader in the clubhouse, or is he just a calming mainstay that's in that clubhouse? Because I could see Alonso being a leader. I could see Lindor being a leader. They're more outspoken. They're more brash. They're not scared. But these two players, Lindor and Alonso, are not scared to, you know, tell people this is what's got to be done. Is Escobar that type of player? Because to me, he doesn't seem that way. He seems very calming, very encouraging. But do we need that calming effect, or do we already have that calming effect in Buck Showalter?
Oh, I don't think Buck Showalter's. I think he's someone that can get crazy.
I will agree with you, but he does protect his players very well.
Right.
He has always done that throughout his entire career.
Let's talk about someone who's not going to get traded. It's Brandon Nimmo.
Oh, it's Mr. Smiley. There we go.
Mr. Smiley number two.
Yes. He's worth $162 million now.
Over the span of
8 years, I believe it is.
Yeah, 8 years. This year, he's going to be making 18 and a quarter. However, from every year on out after, he'll be doing 20 and a quarter.
And that's fine, but he needs to steal more bases. We know he's got the glove in center field. We know he's a good leadoff hitter. We know he knows how to work the count, how to, you know, get there where he's got to get to. But he needs to start stealing bases.
So over on MetsJunkies.com, yours truly, me, myself, Jim Tarbach, had written an article on Brandon Nimmo, and basically, I gave a couple of tips for Brandon. one thing I started off saying, Brandon Nimmo, he needs to improve his jump. That's obvious. One of the most important aspects of stealing bases is getting a good jump off the pitcher. And one way he can improve his jumps is by studying opposing pitchers. Nimmo, after signing this 8-year deal, needs to start showing leadership in other ways. We need to start seeing him in that video. Not that me or you are going to see him in the video room at all, but hopefully that this deal and this investment Steve Cohen has made in him is giving Nimmo enough. And I think it is, of course. Nimmo's always seemed like the type of player that goes hard-nosed.
Yeah, there's no doubt that he runs out every pitch and flags down every ball.
And but, my last...
But his mentality, is he a natural leader or does he lead by example? That's my question because, you know, last year his defense was astronomically different than the year before, which was a great thing to see. But even at the plate, he seemed a little bit more comfortable. He was looking at the ball a lot better. He was seeing pitches better, at least from my standpoint. I'm not saying this is true. This is my standpoint. But
in a different world as he was from the year before.
Right. And that's all he has to do is maintain himself to be the leader that we need him to be in that outfield. Because like I said earlier, we have Alonso and we have Lindor. Now, you don't want too many leaders in the clubhouse.
Right.
Because once you start looking at too many people, you get confused. You don't know what to do.
That's absolutely
so
true.
So now that Nimmo's going to be here for 8 years, it looks like he's going to spend his entire career in the orange and blue, and I'm very happy about that.
If I'm not mistaken, that was a problem a few years ago in the past when they just had too many leaders.
Yeah, it was, you know, you hate to say too many egos. But that's what it came out looking like in the end. Mm-hmm. And now you have a nice team here on the New York Mets that they look like they're just coming into their prime between 28 and 32 years old. You know, some of them a little younger, maybe some a little older. But it's a good blend of talent that you have around. And we cannot escape the leadership and the guts that Max Scherzer brings to the team. And now he's got his boy Justin Verlander with him. And we can only hope that he is the same pitcher he was for the Houston Astros last year.
Right. I think, unfortunately,
if he is, that is one deadly 1-2 combination.
Of course, without a doubt. To see those two reunited and now with Scherzer with so much more experience under his belt and with the World Series ring.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would like to get back to the last tip I'd like to give to Brandon Nimmo on my three tips. And that would, you know, one thing is we all know speed is gonna make you more than likely a good candidate to steal some bases. However, it's not everything. So what Nimmo needs to do, and Brandon Nimmo does have good speed. We've seen that, especially in the outfield. And I know you can agree with that.
Yes.
One thing Nimmo can do is just focus on his technique. If he focuses on improving his technique and as well as his slide with that bigger bag now, we can see more stolen bases if Brandon Nimmo utilizes these three tips I've laid out. Yeah. Everyone can check them out on MetsJunkies.com. I urge everyone to do so.
I agree with you that the bases being bigger should help Brandon Nimmo, but I hate Manfred for continuously changing the game that I love.
I know you have a gripe.
I can't stand the man. I think he should be fired immediately, get rid of the pitch clock, get rid of the big bases,
I'm tired of it. Put the game back to the way it was. You're paying all this money to go see a game, and they're trying to speed it up so you see less of what the game really is.
Bro, the fucking game's been changing every year.
Yeah, but not like year. This. This is ridiculous. It's nuts. You're gonna tell me a pitch clock is gonna determine who wins a game? Come on, man.
It sucks. It's Come fucking
on,
nutty.
Come on, man. Pitch clock on the hitters. Pitch clock on the pitchers. I'm tired of it. Let them play baseball. It's like that ghost runner in extra innings. Get rid of it. Can't stand it. It's garbage.
I agree. So, one thing I wanted to compare Brandon Nimmo's contract to, by the way, just a side note, was, I don't know if you remember, Shin Chuchu with the Texas Rangers, Cleveland Indians, and Texas Rangers. Yes. I think that's a good comp. 7 years, 130. I think especially for back then when it was, if you could bring it up, my computer, I don't work via computer. If you could All bring right. up.
Let's see. What's his name?
Shin Chuchu, the Korean baseball player that played for both Cleveland and Texas. And the funny thing is, he reminds me exactly of this guy. Was an absolute on-base machine. Just on-base machine.
There we go.
He was averaging his last contract at about $18 million a year. It's good to see Nimmo averaging 20 and a quarter.
I like that. I could see Nimmo being compared to this guy. His war was 30.
Definitely better. Definitely better.
He's better than him, I think so. But I can see the comparisons. You know, his war was 34.6. His
What were the years? Can you remind me the years that he started on Texas?
Let me see. He had a long career. He started in 2005. He came up in 2005
with Cleveland. 2005 with Cleveland, or maybe Seattle.
He started with Seattle.
Okay, 2005 was Seattle. Then he went over to Cleveland.
He didn't go to Cleveland until 2006. And he stayed with Cleveland for...
good 3 years.
Seven years.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Then he played a year in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati?
Yep. He played for the Reds. And then he finished out with Texas. He played 7 years.
Okay. He had quite a... I did not realize he had...
He had a very long career.
Really long. Wow.
Good for him. I hope he made his money.
Good for him.
You like to see the longevity of the game being played out in the careers of the players.
Now, I know you didn't get a chance to check out today's game.
No, I unfortunately had to miss it.
Did you get a chance to check out any videos by any chance?
No, I didn't watch any yet.
If you don't mind, I'm going to throw some spoilers out. I'm going to talk about today's game.
Go right ahead.
Ronnie Mauricio is looking like the stud that everybody wants right now. I'll tell you what, I know it's early to say this, however, at least in this decade, in the 2020s, right now, Ronnie Mauricio is probably the top guy of the decade. I think Francisco Alvarez is right there with him. But I think Alvarez's slow spring and Mauricio's hot spring, meaning he's batting .429 with 5 RBIs in just 7 at-bats. Not to mention he won MVP in the Dominican Republic.
But are we going to see him with Lindor's contract? That's the question you got to ask yourself. He's a shortstop.
Uh-huh. Well, so here's the thing. I think when sweet-talking Jeff McNeil into this deal, I think Steve Cohen said, hey, listen, it's no secret. Ronnie Mauricio is a stud. I love paying you. I want to keep you here for this long. I love that you can move around just like Ben Zobrist did. Right. I may ask you to do so. And this is for the sake of the Met team being a better team. And I think, I don't think there's a world that when Ronnie Mauricio is ready for the majors, it's better for him to be at second and Jeff McNeil being the super utility guy.
I think it's too early to make that assertion. He's only 21 years old. He's very limited to the pro level. You know, you hope the upside of this kid is as bright as it, is as bright as it seems right now. But how many times have we had players come up and just completely disappear instantly?
But if you look at the way he's gotten bigger, he looks like Ronnie Acuña in the infield. He's looking really good.
Good. Let him look really good, because we have an infield right now that is pretty much stacked, if you want to use that term right now, because, you know, we have utility player like Yorme, who's already, you know, handled his business. And like you said, we have McNeil, who's handled his business.
Absolutely.
You have, you know, Lindor is going to anchor you at shortstop with his contract. And at first base, you have Petey, who, you know, is going to be there as often as he can be.
Yeah. So that guy plays, if he's healthy, he's gonna kick someone's ass if he's not playing 162 games.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you like to see this Mauricio kid. Yeah, he's 6'3". I think he's a 170 or something like that.
I think he's moved up. I think he's at least 210 now, 215.
Okay, so let's go with that. And, you know, you like to see it, but will he be able to play on this team? Or do you... are you kind of forced to move him because of the contracts that were already given out?
You might be.
So are you forced to move him? And being, you know, his overall value and what he can do and not do, can you go out and get a young, quality starting pitcher?
And the Mets really have to be smart about it. They can't wait too long.
No. Sometimes you got to move when the player's hot, and right now there's nobody hotter.
Right.
So, you know, we can go out. We could probably get a decent fifth starter and maybe even bullpen relief, you know, with what this kid is showing right now.
That's a big ask. I think if you're asking for an ace-type bullpen relief guy, because I don't think you're getting an ace type of, you might get an ace type of starting pitcher at his level, a 21-year-old, maybe not in AAA, however, possibly in AA. You could right. possibly get that.
All right, I got you. But now let's say we package him with two other players and maybe a pick. Do we get Ohtani? Because the Angels are going to be rebuilding.
Yeah.
And Ohtani said the only team he would be traded to was the New York Mets.
Right. That was the way that's what he
put in his contract. I pulled that trigger. I am pulling that trigger immediately. Immediately. I'm calling Uncle Stevie and I'm saying, make it happen.
Because you have a
generational talent in Ohtani who has made it clear that he wants to be a Met.
TC, I swear to fucking God, I still haven't figured out how to trade for him in the show. I'm still trying to get my hands on the guy. I want the guy. Come on.
Well, I give up Mauricio, and we have a couple other young players we could probably move on from.
Right. Yeah. And there's definitely a Vientos that definitely could be moved on from.
Yeah, I like Vientos.
If you're
Otani,
you might have
best
to
part wishes with to your pal. Best wishes.
Right.
You
know, yeah.
You give me Otani, and you know that stadium sold out every game. Then just to see who's going to be there. Could you imagine that?
How do you do that? Do you play? Where now? First of all, where do you put Otani in the field?
He's a pitcher.
Well, he pitches. Oh, well, he DHs when
exactly.
Okay, that's right. He doesn't play the field.
Exactly.
Okay. Perfect. I like it. I fucking like it. I listen.
To I Otani. Mean, I'm looking at Otani's stats right here. Uh-huh. And he's a pitcher, which is the most shocking thing of it all. His WAR over his career is 24.8. He has 127 home runs,
yeah,
and a batting average of .267.
How many seasons?
Let me see.
And what's his OPS?
1, 2, 3, 5 seasons.
What's his OPS?
His OPS, let's see, on-base percentage. His career is .139. This guy is flat out insanity to watch.
His OPS plus is .139.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, his OPS.
Yeah, the one before that, the percentage should be.
Oh, 886.
886, right. That's nice. But yeah, I go for that.
You know, it's not only that, it's what he brings to the team. Because, he's like, I like to call him a silent leader.
Mm-hmm.
He goes out, he does his job, he answers questions, and he's a winner.
He seems like his teammates love him.
Yeah, because he doesn't throw anybody under the bus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what you want on your team. If you could stack your team with a bunch of players that don't throw each other under the bus, you're already ahead of the game.
Well, I don't know if it happens this year. I wonder if...
It's going to happen because he's a free agent next year.
Well, this is what I want to say. I don't know if it's going to happen this season because Steve Cohen may feel a little bit burnt from... trading Rosario and Jimenez when maybe feeling like he could have signed Lindor the year after. So I think there may be some of that in play.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but if you can eliminate the what ifs and say, listen, you tell Otani he wants to be here with us. Okay, he can come here, but we're going to trade. He has to sign an extension. We have to work out an extension before the deal is basically a sign and trade.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't see why a sign and trade cannot be done with this guy.
Yeah, no, I think the trade would have to come with a pre-existing extension, but agreed upon. An extension waiting to be signed.
Right. You know, and you know he's going to get paid.
He's going to get, you know, he's going to be that $600 million guy. Maybe not as much. Maybe it'd be $550, but it'd be close.
Yeah. I could see him at an even $500.
I see it going a little bit over, but... We'll see. We'll find out really soon. Now, back to the games. Pete Alonso went deep. This was funny, man. He skied a home run, his second of the season. The polar bear had no clue that it left the stadium between first and second. He just stopped running, and he was like, where'd the ball go? where do I go? And they let him know. Keep running the bases, polar bear. You can run home now. The ball went over the fence. So he did his second home run of the season, of the spring. It's good to see that. in the spring, he has two RBIs. He's batting 400, meaning he has four hits in his 10 at bats. Lindor gave the Mets the lead early as he teed off on, I believe it was Sandy Alcantara. He just blasted a fastball, and it was his first of the spring. He now has three RBIs this spring, and he's hitting 444. Lindor is known to have a good spring. Unfortunately, he's known to have a little bit of a cold start to the season, though. So let's all keep that in mind when the season does start.
Yeah, the season is going to start, you know, sooner than we think because time seems to be flying. But
it's fine.
But I'm not one who, like, I pay attention to spring training, but I don't follow the stats of spring training. I'd rather see what their body is telling me, what their facial expression. You understand what I'm saying? I like to see if they're comfortable in the swing. I like to see if they're comfortable in the batting order because the stats don't mean nothing. Because come opening day, you all start from scratch again anyway.
That sure is true.
And, you know, I like to see how the players are interacting with each other on the team. Are they having fun? That's the big deal. When they're having fun, like last year, they were having fun. And they started winning. The year before, they weren't having fun. And they were horrible.
Yeah, those are the seasons where you want to forget, and sometimes they're a little bit easy to forget.
Yeah, like the early 90s.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Dallas Green, the Dallas Green days.
Oh, Jesus, those were horrible days. Those were when you can get $2 tickets to sit up in the red.
No way.
Yeah, man.
That is unbelievable. $2 tickets. I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah. You know, every once in a while, we'd just decide, all right, let's go see the Mets. How much are tickets? If we get there, we offer them $2. And, you know, I don't know how my friend did it, but he pulled it off. I guess they were like the last minute deal. Like, okay, you know, like, $2 is better than no dollars, you know? All right, that or he knew somebody and didn't tell nobody.
Could be. It's always good to know what someone when it comes under the table tickets.
There was always the Pepsi giveaways. When you bring a bottle of Pepsi, you sit in the
I love that. That's the one
spot in Shea Stadium I'd never sat was the picnic area.
Oh no, I think I only got to do it once.
I sat everywhere else in that stadium. But I never got to the picnic area.
Yeah, I sat mostly left field mezzanine. I always like to try to get a Bernard Gilkey home run.
Bernard Gilkey, yeah.
Give me a Bernard Gilkey, please. You know what I'm saying?
What's the strangest Met jersey you have?
Strangest Met jersey I have is actually a Amet Rosario jersey. Before he wore one, he wore 63, and I went ahead and decided to get that jersey.
That's pretty awesome.
It was dumb. It was a dumb get, but I got it.
I have a gray Ryan Church jersey.
Oh, wow. 19.
Yeah,
I liked Ryan Church actually.
He was great defensively.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good. He was a hard nosed player too. He had the concussion problem. I think was the issue. Right.
And I'm a traumatic brain injury survivor, so you know, I kind of relate to him a little bit. You know,
I hear you, brother. I have the symptoms as well, so I understand what you're saying.
Well, I was in a coma for a month, so.
Yikes, shit.
That's beyond symptoms, pal.
That's beyond symptoms for sure. Jeez. But moving on to something lighter, I don't know how to move on to that. Shit, tomorrow's game is going to have Cookie Carrasco, who had cancer, so I guess there's that. Yep, we got Cookie Carrasco on the hill tomorrow going against Colby Allard. The game will be on SNY. It'll be a home game at Clover Park in Port St. Lucie. If you get the chance to watch it, enjoy. I will not get the chance, unfortunately. Hopefully soon, though. Besides that, TC, is anything you'd like to say before we start signing off, man?
Well, you know, I hope Cookie has a good year again.
Right.
You know, because he's definitely he's a third starter, in my opinion, if he's healthy.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just hope they keep winning and can transition this over into the season. Because, like I said, you know, spring training, once it ends, everything goes back to zero. But if you can build up a chemistry with your teammates, that doesn't start at zero. That gives you confidence to start the season properly and get off to a quick start.
Well, I hope you can also tell, you know, some of the people about yourself, too. You know, I know we talk a bunch of baseball. It doesn't have to get too personal, of course. Yeah, tell the world about yourself a little bit, TC.
Well, I'm a traumatic brain injury survivor.
How long have you been a Mets fan?
I've been a Mets fan my entire life.
Sure.
In 1987, I got to run the bases with Mookie Wilson as part of the Mets Kids Day at Shea. Let's see. I stayed for the entire game of the grand single.
Nice.
I was trashed out of my mind.
That's cool. That's really cool.
I had no shirt on. I was waving my undershirt, my white undershirt, like as my rally towel. And I still to this day feel bad because there were Braves fans sitting behind me for the game. And I kept hitting them with the wet shirts. And, you know, I feel bad. But,
you know, wasn't that the same year Rocker was talking a bunch of shit?
Yes, that was the same year. I was actually at that game, too, when they had to bring in the armed security for Rocker. I was at that game also. Oh. I was at the home run game for Piazza after 9/11.
Nice.
So I've been fortunate to been to a lot of games.
Definitely sounds like it. Definitely sounds like it, man.
But my biggest Mets prize possession is Mike Piazza signed one of his bats for me when I was in the coma. So when I came out of the coma, when I came out of the coma, there was Mike Piazza's bat. It still has the pine tar on it.
Unbelievable.
And if he actually listens to this, I just want to thank him because it means the world right there.
That's unbelievable. That's absolutely unbelievable, man. I don't think, you know, that's such a terrible thing to have happen to you and to wake up and to have your like, literal hero. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jose Reyes signed a hat for me, and Tom Glavine signed a little kid's hat.
Okay.
But that was nothing compared to Mike Piazza.
Of course not. Of course not.
There's the greatest hitting catcher ever. You know, offensively, he was the greatest hitting catcher. And, you know, that, you know, to get one of his bats means everything.
I think he was a little bit, when it comes to his defense, I think he was a little bit bashed a little bit too much. I think he was fine defensively. I think he just lacked with his throws a little bit.
Well, however, yeah, that's exactly it.
But the rest of his defensive game, and I do mean the rest of his defensive game, was above average.
Yes. Yes, it was. He called a good game.
He called a good game.
I mean, look what he did in 2000. He had Al Leiter, Mike Hampton, Rick Reed.
And these are guys that could put it in the dirt, too. He didn't like guys.
Traxel. How many times did he sit for Traxel? How much does that take on your wear and tear waiting for his delivery?
Jeez, that might have taken away like a quarter of his career.
He would have never survived with a pitch clock.
Probably not.
They should just name the pitch clock after Steve Traxel.
Right? That'd be
They should call it the Traxel clock. The Traxel timer. That's what we're going to call it.
People would, besides Met fans, people would have no idea.
They could type him in on YouTube and it's 30 seconds before the first pitch. Then they're going to completely understand.
Man, that's hilarious. TC, where can... are you on Twitter at all, man? One thing I really like to do, at least...
No, I'm not really the social media guy.
No, we got to get you to get on Twitter, man, so you can kind of start talking to some of the guys, at least on the Mets Junkies side.
Yeah, I'll create one. Yeah, maybe, man, not today, but soon.
Now we'll hound you.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be. I'm sure I'll make it before Aaron Rodgers announces if he's returning to Green Bay or not.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh yeah. By the way, go Bills! Bills Mafia, baby.
That's I'm not much into football, but the Bills were really great to watch.
Bills Mafia. I've been a Bills fan my entire life.
That was something special. Hip hop wise, I do like Griselda, so there is a Buffalo tie right there.
I haven't listened to any new music in about 10 years.
Listen to Griselda; they're 38 years old.
I listen to old school hip hop.
These guys,
the 90s.
These guys are right up that alley. I'll send you something. Trust me.
Yeah, you know, if you like hip hop, you know who you should listen to? DJ JS1.
Okay.
Look him up.
You send me something.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
All right. TC, listen, this was really awesome. I want to thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all. I would love to keep doing this, man.
Yeah, man.
One thing I'd also like to do is I'd like to thank everybody for giving us a listen. You can go ahead and find me on Twitter at the Brooklyn Gem is my personal account. You can also follow the Mets Junkies account, or it's actually just Mets Junkies. I don't know why I added the. It's Mets Junkies. So you could follow me either at Mets Junkies or the Brooklyn Gem. I'm always on Twitter communicating. You can find me on Facebook. I'm out there communicating. Besides that, everybody, take care and thank you for listening to TC's and Gem's Mets Hour. It was a ton of fun. Take care, guys. Peace out.
Peace out.